Well, I am thankful to be here, and want to invite you to open your Bibles. We're going to look this morning somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. Somewhere in there. I'm going to be honest with you. I've really struggled the last couple of days. My plan was to continue studying in the book of Acts, and we may try to do that, but with everything going on in Iran and with Israel, I know that's on a lot of people's minds, and I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't at least talk about some of those things a little bit today. So bear with me a little bit this morning, if you would, please. I always want to preach to you guys and teach you guys what God wants me to, and sometimes that's more clear than other times. So if you're able, I do want to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to pray together, and then we'll get into the text. And just to kind of center our focus a little bit, let's look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and we'll pray. We'll read a few verses here, and then I'm going to talk to you about a lot of stuff. So I'm just going to say this today. The better you pray, the better this will go. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, if you find our text there. And I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mitchell, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer before we read God's word. Amen. While you're still standing, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Please be seated. Man, isn't that an awesome picture of the early church? I mean, they're just together. They're loving each other. They're helping each other. When somebody needed something, people would just sell what they had so that they could have money to help somebody else in the church. And then they're together daily in the temple, like they would all gather in Solomon's porch, Solomon's colonnade, big open area, big enough for thousands of people together. So they would be there where they would worship and pray and preach together. And then they were also meeting in homes. So they were in house to house. So they would break up into smaller groups, and you would have several families coming together in one house and several families in another house. And they were just continuing to break bread together, to enjoy fellowship together, but it was centered around Jesus. It was centered around praying and worshiping and growing together and the apostles' doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. And man, it was just a glorious time, and God was blessing because he just kept adding to the church, those who were being saved. And so, awesome time of growth, and all those things were going on. And that's kind of where we're at in our study. But I want to interrupt the study a little bit because I mean, big things are happening in the Middle East right now. If you're not aware, I don't know how you couldn't be, but if you're not aware, but Israel and the U.S. have attacked Iran, and their supreme leader has been killed. And these are big things. They're big things in the world stage. They're big things politically. They're big things with biblical prophecy in mind, too. And I know there's a ton of confusion. How many of you this morning, if you're on social media at all, would you please raise your hand? Like you're on Facebook, X, Insta, any of that stuff? So the majority of you are, and I just want to say I'm sorry. My heart hurts for you because you're on social media. And if you're like me, you've seen a lot of, have you noticed any division in our nation while you're on social media? If you take the time, like some people in my family, and block and hide enough people, you could really weed it out to where you only hear what you want to hear. But if you don't do that, then you're going to hear a lot of division politically in our country. And there's a lot of venom that gets spewed at each other both ways. And if you're curious to know what I think, I'm not afraid to tell you. I honestly, 90% of the time, think both sides are wrong. If they're not wrong in their philosophy, they're wrong in their attitude and their actions and attitudes towards each other. But the thing that disturbs me the most right now is the division that I see among Christians. I have a lot of Facebook friends. I know that's different than a real friend. I have a lot of Facebook friends who are Christians who are a lot of different persuasions denominationally and have a different alignments theologically, and I love them, and I believe that they love God and His Word. I just think that their understanding of Scripture leads them to different camps. The problem is the confusion that it brings and the division and the discord that it brings among those who name the name of Christ. And I don't know if you've seen this, but when missile strikes hit Iran, everybody had an opinion about that. And I was amazed at the division between Christians and their opinions about that. And so I just want to take a few minutes this morning to try to walk through a little bit of that with you. And as always, I think it's important for us to start at the beginning. I want you to understand where Iran comes from. Now, my whole life I was taught that Iran today is biblically Persia. And I want to examine that a little bit with you so we understand what we're talking about. If we're going to say that these things have prophetic implications for the end times, then we need to understand who they are. So if you're to trace the history of Persia back, it goes all the way back to the sons of Shem in Genesis 10:22, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And you'll find that when the table of nations was set up with Ham, Shem, and Japheth, you guys remember who their dad was? Noah, that's right. Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So these are the ones that were saved from the flood. Them, their wives, Noah and his wife, they're the ones who repopulated the earth. So this passage of Scripture, most people refer to as the table of the nations, because what happened is when they get off the ark after the flood, they're scattered around the world and they settle places. And so these are the fathers of nations. So this man, you read there, Elam, he's the father of the Elamites, because that's what you do with the Bible when you want to make, when it's a nation, you just put ite at the end of it, right? Right. You've read that, right? They're the Israelites, right? The Canaan. Good job, kids. Yeah, okay. So the Elamites would go and occupy the region that's later associated with Persia, but in particular, the southern part, not the northern part. But that's kind of where they came from. Now, we knew that there was going to be a nation because Daniel prophesied about them. In Daniel 8:20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Now, it's really cool because when Daniel wrote that, it didn't even exist yet. So he's writing about nations that wouldn't exist for hundreds of years later. And so he is prophesying about nations that are going to rise and fall, and one of them would be the Medes and the Persians. And then we read in Ezra 1 and 2, and some of you men who have been in our men's Bible study, we've been studying Ezra. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and God stirred up Cyrus to send Israel back. So, real quick history. Elam ends up there in that area that would later become Persia, and that time went on. God would raise up nations and cause nations to fall, but just to fast forward a bit to kind of get you up to speed, you got the Babylonian Empire. Anybody remember about those? Okay. Anybody remember a really famous king from Babylon? What? Nebuchadnezzar was the main king that we see. The Babylonians rose to great power. They had an empire that spread over the known world at that time, conquering many other nations. And then they were conquered by the Persians. And then the Persians were conquered by the Medes. And that would be King Darius. So we have all of these different nations that are rising and falling. And I want you to get that, that God was going to establish nations and then he was going to bring them down because God is in control of all things. Okay. Cyrus in particular, we just read about. God says in Isaiah 44:28, Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built in the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So Cyrus is prophesied by God about hundreds of years before. So Isaiah is writing about him in about 700 BC, but Cyrus wasn't even born until about 600 BC. So he's named by name as a leader of a nation that didn't exist yet, and he was going to be used by God to bring Israel back out of captivity, where they were carried away into Babylon, back to home to Israel. Okay, now, you guys look thoroughly confused. Sorry. All I'm trying to do is establish for you is the reality is a lot of people look at Iran and they say, well, that's Persia, and there's prophecies in the Old Testament about Persia, so is that true? And the answer is kind of, because this Persia, the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, wasn't just in southern Iran. It covered the known world at that time. At that time, it went all the way from Egypt, all the way to the north, all the way to the east, to the west. Like, it covered a massive area because they were in control. Okay, so I don't want you to get so hung up about details of things and get scared. Here's the deal. I got too many friends who are pastors who get so fixated on end time events, they forget that we're supposed to be living for Jesus today. Okay, everybody, you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't get distracted. So yeah, the heartland of ancient Persia does correspond largely with modern Iran. But at the time of Daniel and Ezekiel, Persia covered an area that would include modern-day Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Afghanistan. So it covered a massive area. So you can't get caught up in the details that you miss the big picture. What's the big picture? All of the kingdoms of this earth are going to pass away. There's only one kingdom that will stand. It's the kingdom of our God and Christ that we've been studying about on Sunday mornings for a long time now. It's called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. That's the only kingdom that's going to stand. Now, how many of you this morning could say that you're proud to be an American? Amen. Well, of course you are, because you're an American, so you're proud. That's what defines us as Americans. We're prideful, right? That's who we are. We're proud to be an American. What does that mean? I don't know, but I'm thankful that I'm American. I'm thankful that I'm part of a nation that believes in free speech and freedom of religion. I'm thankful that I'm part of a place where we're free together to worship today, and I don't have to worry about a rocket being fired into this building. Like, I did not wake up this morning afraid that my house would be bombed or that this city would be bombarded with missiles. But you know, there are a lot of people who wake up every morning not knowing whether their house will be standing at the end of the day or not. And here's what I want you to know, that we should have compassion for those who are in those places. And so I've seen the extremes. I've seen the extremes on social media for Christian reactions. On the one hand, you have people who are like, we should never go to war with anybody. They're pacifists. You should never do anything. As a nation, we should just stay to our own and not have anything to do with anybody and never go to war. Well, I'm sorry, but that's naive. It just is. Nations are going to go to war with nations. That's just a fact. And sometimes you have to. On the other hand, I've seen Christians who are celebratory, because at the end of the day, you're glad when evil is put in its place. Aren't we glad when evil is put in its place? Are we thankful for justice? Listen, when the murderer and rapist is put to death justly, that's a good thing. I know some of you don't understand that, but listen, evil has to be dealt with, but I want you to understand something. That is not for the individual Christian, okay? We have to learn to separate what we do as individual Christians from what our nation is supposed to do. So let me try to prove that real quick. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. We'll look at it together here. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power or authority but of God. The authorities or powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God with a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Okay, here's the deal. God establishes the authorities that be. I'm an American citizen. That means that I should respect the authorities of my nation. It's sad that this isn't common sense anymore. But when the police officer pulls you over and says, let me see your hands, let him see your hands. When he says, get out of the car, get out of the car. When he says, turn around and put your hands on the hood, you know what you do? Now, you don't run, Mike. That's not what you do. Lord help. One night when I was working for my dad, and his shop was in Muskogee, my cousin and I came back from a job. It was late. I don't know, it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night. We had to get the trailer loaded for the next day's work. So we had been out working late. We had to load up so we could leave early in the morning on another job. It's dark. The place is shut down. We're making a lot of noise because we're tired and we're mad about it, you know, just throwing stuff around, getting ready to go the next day. I'm in the trailer loading some stuff. My cousin's in the shop. The next thing I see is blue and red lights flashing outside the trailer. So I go outside, and all I know, I don't know who it is, I just know that they're yelling at me. They want to see my hands. Put your hands on the hood of the truck. Like, I don't even know what's going on. All I know is there's an officer there, and as mad as I am, because I was not happy, and I didn't want to run, but I wanted to say some things back to him. But I didn't do that. Put your hands on the truck. Okay. Do you have anything in your pockets that could hurt me? Yes. Do you have any weapons? Yes. I mean, it's Oklahoma, bro. What do you want? Yeah, there's a knife in my pocket. There's a gun right there in the truck. Yes, there's weapons everywhere. So what had happened was the neighbors heard all the noise and somebody at the shop. It's dark outside. Nobody's supposed to be there. They called the police and told them there had been gunshots. So when the sheriffs roll in, they roll in hot, right? So listen, I was mad about it, and he was not nice. He was being a jerk to me, and I wanted to be a jerk back. But you know what I did? Yes, sir. No, sir. Why? Because I'd been taught to respect the authority that's placed over me. Amen. Because his gun was on his hip, and mine was in the truck. That was a joke. My goodness, settle down. I'm trying to tell you that from the local, from the teacher in the school to the administration to the local authorities in our town to those who rule over our county to those who are set in positions of leadership in our state to the governor of the state, all of them have positions of power because God gave them those positions of power. Amen. And I'm sick to death of the division we have in our country. Like, I love you guys, so I'm going to say this with all the love in my heart. Some of you celebrated so much when Trump got elected and said God put him there, but you were just sure that the devil put Biden in office. Like, it doesn't work that way, friends. God put them both in office. You understand that? Do you understand that the same God that put Nebuchadnezzar in power in Babylon is the same God that put Pharaoh in power in Egypt? Like, it's not like, oh man, a couple of years ago, it's like, oh no, I really wanted Trump to get elected. Oops. You realize how ridiculous that is? If there is somebody in power, it's because God put them there. And if you are a citizen of this country, then God put you under that authority, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. We're going to have another election pretty soon, and we'll see how it goes. And there will be half the country will be really happy, and half the country will say they're moving to, I don't know, Iceland. And, I mean, only one of them will go, but I just want you to understand that there's a difference between how we're supposed to act as individuals and how we're supposed to act. It is not my job to go find murderers and put them to death. That's not my job. It is the job of our government to do that. And by the way, in our form of government, we have a great responsibility and opportunity to be a part of that process. And when our government doesn't act right, we can hold them accountable, and we should. Amen. Right? We are a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And when it's not for the people, then we should do something about it. Okay. Now, this means that they are supposed to execute judgment within our nation. It also means that they have the right to execute judgment in dealings beyond our borders. Now, I want you to know that I hate war, and it's never a good thing. It may be a righteous thing, it may be a just thing, but it's never a good thing. What do I mean? I don't mean that it's not good in the sense that it's not just or righteous. I mean it's not good in the sense that it always brings death. War is ugly. And the only nations who want to go to war are those who have forgotten what it costs. People that you and I love we're just starting to see the end of it. Like, here's the reality. We're just starting to see the end of the effects of the war in Vietnam. Because the diseases and the poisons and the toxins that some of them got, it's finally finishing its work of killing our men who were poisoned there. You guys understand what I'm saying? War costs a lot. And it doesn't just cost in that moment, it costs for decades to come. So I'm just trying to tell you that if you're anxious to go to war, if you're a Christian, you're like, yes, let's go to war, I would encourage you to back up a little bit. I would encourage you to step back and say, it may be just and it may be necessary, but it's not a good thing. It's a costly thing. It's the government's role. Now, whether you think that the U.S. should be involved in the war with Iran or not, I want you to understand that ultimately God's going to be in control of these things. Listen, you can blame it on whoever you want to blame it on, but at the end of the day, nothing is going to happen without God allowing it to happen. He's still sovereign. Now, God allows things to happen that aren't in line with his perfect will. It happens every day. You want to know how I know? Because it happens in my life every day. It's not God's perfect will that I would ever sin, and yet I do. Okay? And it happens on the individual level. It happens in our church. It happens in our nation. It happens on the globe. So what do we want to do? I want to remember the words of Jesus. Check this out, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. It seems like all of my Christian friends, Facebook friends who are debating these things and saying mean things about each other online never want to talk about what Jesus said. Matthew 5, 9, what does he say? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I know sometimes peace comes through strength for nations. I understand that, and I understand sometimes justice has to be served before there is peace. I understand all of that. I just know this. Our hearts should be for peace. Okay? Amen. Our hearts should be for peace, and our efforts should be towards peace. And what we do in our lives ought to be towards peace between us and God, Amen. Between us and other people, and between other people and God. And there is no peace without Christ. So, if we want to have peace, I want to have courage without hating. I want to have conviction without fear. And I want to have truth with the love of Christ. That's what I think it means to be a peacemaker. So, what else? I think we need to reject fear and speculation. I think we need to reject fear and speculation. War is a bad thing. War is an ugly thing. But at the same time, friends, we cannot be afraid. If our purposes are of God, then we should never be afraid. 2 Peter 3:11 reminds us, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Our focus has to be on the true kingdom of God. I'm for America, but I'm for America being in a line with God's word. And I understand that if America continues to go against God and his word, then America will be no more. So I thought I'd say a couple of things y'all wouldn't like today. Amen. He raised up Babylon to judge Israel, and then he judged Babylon for being too harsh with Israel. He's raised up nations and pulled down nations, and he's done it since the nations were formed after the flood, and he'll continue to do it until there's only one nation left, his kingdom. So what should our focus be? Our focus should be on Christ and on his will. Our focus should be on a kingdom which cannot be moved, a kingdom made in heaven. And I want you to get this. So we're supposed to be in Acts. And you remember in Acts chapter 1, check it out, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Watch this, where Isaac tries to tie all this together. See how this goes. I told you somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, that's where we're going to be. So after they got off the boat, Shem and his wife had babies, and their babies had babies, and one of those babies was Elam, and Elam went to a place that we know as Iran. That's where he was. That's the nation that raised up there. By the way, just as a quick side note, I know a lot of people think that Iran is like direct descendants of Ishmael, and that's not true. It's an Islamic nation, but not genetically, not historically. That's just religiously. So they're descendants of Shem, same as Abraham was. But that's not the line. They were cousins, not the same family line. So Elam's different than Abraham's family line. So they're not Ishmaelites, they're Elamites. Okay. Now, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What were they after? Well, they wanted Rome to be overthrown. They wanted Israel to be established as a nation. They wanted to rule and reign and get the promises that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. But the Lord said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and on Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, last week, we spent some time looking at when God poured the Spirit out at Pentecost. You guys remember that? And you remember when Peter got up and what he preached? Can anybody remember a couple of the places he preached from in the Old Testament? He talked about one of the prophets, a minor prophet. His name starts with J and ends with O-L. Thank you. So he preached from Joel, right? And then he starts quoting a lot of other scriptures. Like he's pointing to Isaiah. He's pointing to 2 Samuel. Like he's preaching from the Old Testament scriptures. Now just stay with me for a second. Do you think that Peter and John and James and later the Apostle Paul, do you think they knew about the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel? Do you think they knew stuff about Babylon and Persia and the stuff that was prophesied in the end times? Yes, they did. But I want you to notice what they didn't do. They didn't go around everywhere with doomsday proclamations about Persia and Babylon. That's not what they did. You know what they did? They went and they preached Jesus. It's not that they were ignorant, like they didn't know the Old Testament prophecies. They just understood that wasn't on mission. Now, should we ignore those things or be ignorant of those things? No. I think you ought to know the Bible. I think you ought to care about every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. But I think that you shouldn't get distracted with stuff to keep you from doing what God's called you to do. I think that we ought to do what they did. Because they went everywhere preaching Jesus. That's what they did. And when they looked to the Old Testament scriptures, what they did was they brought about the stuff that pointed to Jesus Christ. They talked about the prophecies of Jesus. They talked about David and how his descendant, his seed, would not be left in hell, but he would be raised up. And that was about Jesus, not about David. And so they looked to the Old Testament to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's the point of it all? I just want to remind you a couple of things this morning. Number one, God governs the nations. God governs all nations. He's in control. Number two, you can trust the prophecies of the Word of God. God's Word is true from the beginning to the end, and you can believe His Word. Number three, only Christ's kingdom will endure forever. Amen. Only Christ's kingdom will endure forever. The kingdom of God is eternal. Nothing, no other kingdom is. Okay? And number four, our mission doesn't change. Our mission doesn't change. What if, it's just news and how it comes to us has changed so much. I remember when there was Desert Shield, and then there was Desert Storm and Iraqi Freedom. And I remember when all that stuff was happening, like if you turned on a TV, that's all it was. I remember that. Well, I don't watch the TV like that anymore. So I don't know anything unless I pull out my phone and I flip through the news. Times have changed. But I'm just telling you, like, it felt like yesterday World War III just quietly started and I didn't even know it. It's what it felt like when I got home and I started looking at the news and I'm like, what in the world? But friends, listen, if World War III started yesterday, God's still in control. And our mission hasn't changed. Rome was in power and an incredible persecution was coming on the Christians, and they just kept going everywhere preaching Jesus. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter if Rome was in control. It didn't matter if Israel was in control. It didn't matter going backwards or forwards what powers rose and what powers fall, what nations came and what nations went. The Christian mission, the church's mission has never changed, and it won't until Jesus takes us home. So let me just encourage you. I know some of this stuff's scary. And not just globally, but, man, stuff that you guys are going through, some of you have gotten diagnoses the last week or two that are terrifying. And some of you have lost loved ones that you've had to bury and say goodbye to. Like, there's so much stuff going on in your lives and in the world today. And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be afraid. Amen. You can trust in Jesus. Amen. And no matter what happens here and now, he's got you forever. So if you've never trusted in him, then trust in him. And if you are trusting in him, then go help other people trust in him too. Let's stand together. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I just ask that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I'm afraid this message was as confusing as the thoughts in my head are sometimes, and I just pray that you'll sort that out in hearts and bless in spite of me. All the things going on in the world are confusing and concerning, and there's so many different opinions, and sometimes it's hard to even know what we should believe or how we should feel. But God, I know that you're in control. So I pray that what we will feel is confidence in you. I pray that you'll turn the confusion into assurance that we know you're in control, that you're going to work all things out for good to those who love you and are called according to your purposes. And I pray that you'll be with those who are struggling right now with fear and anxiety in their own lives, their own circumstances. Lord, help us to trust in you. And I pray your Holy Spirit would give grace and peace in believing. And Father, if anyone here or watching online needs to make a decision for Christ today, I pray that you'll bring them to repentance and faith. Lord, you died for all. And we know you save all who believe. So, Lord, give us that childlike faith that we can just trust in you. Lord, help us to take the next step, whatever it might be, for our walk with you. I thank you for everyone you've brought here today, and I pray that you'll bless them richly. And, Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be here today. God, give them grace, healing, and help. And I thank you, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word of God if he's convicting your heart. Any decision you need to make, you come while we sing.